It has been said that patience is a virtue, meaning patience is a good thing. In the New Testament, patience is one part of the fruit of the Spirit that believers have when the Spirit comes to take up residence in us, in our lives. And as I thought about this past week, about patience and having patience, and how the Bible encourages us, especially in the New Testament, to have patience with one another and to bear with one another, I thought about how almost every single thing we do in life every day involves waiting. We get up in the morning, and life seems to be about waiting, doesn't it? We have to wait till our body wakes up. You know, we start the coffee, we have to wait till the coffee's done brewing. We have to wait as things progress because we live on this journey that we call life. So we constantly have to wait on things to take place as we go along in that journey. We are in the business of waiting, so to speak. We have to wait till our food is ready to eat, even if we go to some of the fast food restaurants. The farmers plant their seed and they have to wait till it matures. We have to wait till it rains for certain things to happen. Then we have to wait till it gets dry for other things to happen. We wait till it stops snowing to shovel the snow. You see, it's a never-ending cycle of waiting that we are involved in life. But on the other end, and the problem we struggle with today in our life is that our culture promotes instant gratification. In other words, not having to wait on things. Many of your commercials on television and business and industry, they promote their product and promote their business by telling you or convincing you that they can offer it faster than somebody else, that you can have that product quicker through them than someone else. So as our culture promotes instant gratification, maybe through the internet, you know, before we had to get in our car and go to a store to buy products. Now we get on our devices and within a few seconds, boom, we've purchased it. And then we have to wait till it comes. So a lot of times we purchase it from a place where it's going to come the quickest because our culture promotes instant gratification. So we have this tension going on that we're dealing with in life, that we have to wait for things. But yet we don't want to because our culture promotes instant gratification. And maybe that's why we become such irritable people. I don't know. Oftentimes when, and you've seen this, you've been a place where maybe you're purchasing something or maybe you have a waitress at a restaurant or a waiter and they're fumbling around with something. They're having one of those days when the fingers won't work right and they're hurrying. They start hurrying. And I always encourage them, relax, take your time, it's okay. Because I have found in my own life that when I get in a hurry, one of two things happen. Either I make a huge mistake or I hurt myself. So I found it is definitely a virtue, a good thing to be patient, to relax a little bit. Time and time again, people come to me. Maybe there's an issue going on in the church. Something's happened here or there. And they come to me, well, we got to do something. We got to do something. This is taking place. What are we going to do? And I say, well, we're not going to do anything right now. What do you mean? We've got to do something. And I say, why do we have to do something? Well, let's just relax a little bit first. Let's just relax. Take a nice deep breath and maybe pray about it first. And sadly, having this impatience that's caused us to be irritable people has altered the way we view God. And it's altered our attitude toward God. Patience, being a gift of the Spirit, should include having patience with God. Not just with each other, but with God. People get so frustrated because God doesn't work as quickly as they think or in the way that they think. And when we look at the story of God's people from cover to cover, it was a story of waiting. It took Noah years and years and years to build the boat. But God said, I'm going to send rain and you're going to need a boat. He had to be patient. The other people weren't and they made fun of him. They ridiculed him and made fun of Noah's God. Well, God showed them that patience is a virtue. When I think of Moses, who was sent to God's people in Egypt, 400 years they had been slaves there. 400 years to the day. And Moses led them out of Egypt. David was a man who needed to be patient. He was consecrated as the new king. He was anointed by Samuel. But yet he had to wait and let the process work out and let God deal with Saul until David finally came to the throne. When the people were in captivity, they were warned that they were going to be going into captivity. And finally, they went, the Babylonians came in, captured them, took them to Babylon, and they had to wait 70 years to be released. God's people had to wait for years and years, thousands of years, for the coming of the Messiah. Many of them got impatient with God, turned away from God. Now today, here we are in the end times between the first and second coming of God, or of Jesus. We're in this period where we are waiting for the second advent of Christ. And here we are again, having to wait. In Isaiah chapter 64, Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, and the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one's heard, no ear has perceived, no eye's seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." So Isaiah was prophesying and proclaiming also, God, come down and do this right now. Rend the heavens and come down and destroy our enemies. Do it now, Lord. David was a man who knew a lot about patience. He was a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 13, he says, "How long, O Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death, and my enemy will say that I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." So David, in some of his psalms, writes about his impatience and his struggles being impatient with God. He wants these things to happen, and he wants them to happen now for the glory of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read, Isaiah writes in verse 31, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint." Isn't patience a real struggle in our lives? It really is part of our human struggle here on earth. And we get so frustrated, not only with one another, but we get frustrated with God, and we shouldn't. We don't have absolutely one reason to be frustrated with God. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, called the weeping prophet, was chosen by God at an early age, like 20 or in his early 20s, to prophesy to the people to turn from their ways. The people had thought that God had forgotten them, and they turned away from God to idols and other gods. So God chose Jeremiah to speak to the people and to warn them that they were going to be disciplined if they didn't turn back to God, and they didn't take or heed the warning. So Jeremiah sat and watched as Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. Now, to the Jewish people, the destruction of Jerusalem was a horrible thing. This was their beloved city, the city of God. Jerusalem being destroyed was equal to God being destroyed. So for him to sit and watch his beloved city be destroyed certainly would have destroyed some of his patience with his God. Says, "I'm a man who's seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. He's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. He's turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He's made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He was very heartbroken to the point of bitterness. And as he looked back on all that he had been through during his years of prophesying, as they persecuted him and beat him, and cast him out of the community. He said, I remember my affliction and my wandering. I remember the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul's downcast within me. We can sit, always sit, and think about our troubles, can't we? And it seems like they just come to the forefront of our memory. We can remember all these things that have happened to us in life, that is, our afflictions, our sufferings, our tribulations, the bad things that have happened. And when we start to think about them, don't we get depressed? It's heartbreaking. We get depressed. And sometimes we start to question, well, where was God in all that? Why did God allow that to happen? Jeremiah says, yet, despite all of this that he had been through, this I remember, I call it to mind, and therefore, because I bring this to mind, I have hope. Now, hope and faith and patience all intermingle in the Christian faith, trusting in our great God. They intermingle because without patience, there won't be any hope. Without hope, there's no patience or faith. They all work together to keep us going along on this journey, to carry us along. Because if we have no patience, we're not going to have hope, you see. We have no faith, we're going to have no hope. He says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Now all of a sudden, he turns from himself and his own pity party to the great God who he has come to know as a God who loves us so much that he's not going to forever consume us. Because his compassions, he says, never fail. He turns to a God whom he acknowledges as a loving and compassionate God. And if we claim that our God is loving and compassionate, then we have to understand that our afflictions, our wandering, our bitterness, our gall is going to be overcome eventually by God. And we have to have patience with him. And he said that his love and his compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The King James Version says, I will hope for him. Therefore, I will wait for him. That's a great statement. I found in my own personal life to be very powerful during times of depression and darkness in my own life, when it seemed like God was so far away from me, and I realized, no, he wasn't. He was right there with me, helping me grow, strengthening me through those valleys that I was going through. And one thing that I found that gave me a sense of hope was turning to the scriptures and remembering how God's people had suffered and how his prophets had suffered, but yet they declared, I will wait on the Lord. And I clung to that as my own personal experiences and proclaimed to the Lord that I am not going to leave you, Lord. That no matter what happens to me, I am not walking away from you. And it just lifted burdens. And it made a special bond between the Lord and myself in those trying times. Because I knew that God was a God of love and compassion, and that if I was suffering, it had to be for my own benefit and for the glory of God. And I was not going to walk away from that, because if I did, I knew I would lose the blessing and God would lose the glory. I knew there was a better reason for it. He says, Jeremiah says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. The Lord is good. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that salvation is not at death and death alone. It's now. It's in our lives now, every single day, how the Lord comes to save us in those times. And he said, it's good to wait quietly until the Lord comes to save us. And it is, even though good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young, it's good for us to sit alone in silence and to contemplate what the Lord has laid on us. And in burying our face in the dust is our submission to God. So in these times, he says, it's good to be patient. It's good to contemplate what's going on and remember what's going on. And remember that God's a God of love and a God of compassion, and to submit ourselves in worshiping God and turning back to God. Have you ever considered that God is not slow, but that it is our impatience with him that is the problem? God's not slow in answering our prayers. It's just that we become impatient with him. Some of the answered prayers and the blessings and the salvations in the Bible took hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, and the people who longed for them and cried out for them never actually saw them. Well, they did from a heavenly perspective, but they never saw them from an earthly perspective. But see, what that tells us is that God is faithful and answers prayer, and we may not see those prayers answered in this life, but we will see them answered from another perspective someday, because God is loving and compassionate, and we wait on him to act as we're faithful to him. Impatience causes anger. There's a lot of people these days angry with God. Impatience causes unbelief. There's a lot of people don't believe in God because they can't wait on him. Impatience causes a power struggle. Well, if God's not going to do anything, then I'm going to do something. You see, it's that power struggle because we feel something has to be done. And when we start doing that, we find ourselves working outside the will of God. And that brings more problems. There's a lot of people who will say to me, well, I have these things going on in my life, but I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. So they're sitting around like this. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Just waiting on the Lord. Lord's going to do something. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm just waiting on the Lord. And I say, yeah, you are. And you're not doing anything, are you? You're just waiting on the Lord. You see, as we wait on the Lord, we are supposed to be about kingdom work, working for the Lord, telling others about the goodness, the love, and the compassion of the Lord, and all that he's done for us up to this point in life. And sometimes people will say, well, I'm not going to wait on the Lord. If the Lord's not going to do it, then evidently he expects me to take the first step. So I'm going to take the first step. And what do? We take that first step and we're like, oh my gosh. And we fall down and now we say, well, now things are worse. Things are worse now. But the thing about God is he knows you fell down and he knows that you took control of your own hands and he comes and picks you up, doesn't he? And hopefully we've learned a lesson by that point. But not always. We don't always learn that lesson, do we? And it's a hard thing. This struggle to have patience with God, because we say, well, what's God going to do? When's he going to do something? How long, oh Lord? Are you going to forget me forever? You going to forget me forever? I often tell people, you know, when God called Abram to go to the promised land, he said, I'll show you the blessings when you get there. Abram wasn't shown the blessings before he went, and a lot of us want that. Lord, I want to know. I want to know what's going to happen before I go, or I'm not going to go. That's not really true faith, first of all. And I say to people, unless Abram took the first step, not knowing what's going to happen, but knowing that God has called him forward into that life and that God wants him to go, if he doesn't take the first step, he's never going to know that. So I say when God calls us, we have to take the first step. And people say, what happens if I take the wrong step? I say, God will guide you in that, because that's true faith, taking the step into the unknown, being daring. And we say, well, how do we know that God wants us to go in the first place? Through prayer. It's in our prayer time that we become connected to God. We read God's word. All these people that saw the blessings saw them because they were obedient to God's word. And when we're obedient to God's word in that journey, that first step won't be so scary, first of all. And second of all, you'll know that you know that you know that it's the right step. because you know that you know that you know that God is with you in that journey. And of course, we go to church, we read our devotions. Have you ever noticed that you can pick up two or three different devotions on any particular day from different sources, and they're telling you, me, us, the same thing? Wow, that's weird, isn't it? Wow, that's a real coincidence. No, it's not. That's the word of the Lord that never contradicts himself. I say this when somebody comes to me and says, I feel the Holy Spirit's calling me to do something. I say, well, let's turn to God's word, because God's word and the Holy Spirit do not contradict each other. God won't do that to us and confuse us. And it does take discernment. It does take time. It takes encouragement from the family and body of believers in our journey to overcome that impatience, to relax and to listen to the voice of God, to read God's word, to understand, to wait on the Lord, to show us here and show us there, rather than just sitting around doing nothing or getting impatient and saying, well, he's not going to do anything, I am, and we find ourselves in a bigger mess. We live in this culture that promotes instant gratification, so we think that we can go to God and we can say, well, God, I need this much money rate, and I need it today. And believe me, folks, I like to get specific in my prayers. But when I start pinning God down to times and places and working in certain ways, I'm taking away from the true blessings of knowing a God who's loving and compassionate. God knows I'm going to have tomorrow's troubles today. He knows that now. Just a couple quick examples, and then I want to finish this morning. Any of you who hunt, I don't know why they call it hunting, they should call it waiting, because a lot of you who hunt here, you go out in the woods and you sit for hours, right? You sit for hours and hours. What are you doing? You're waiting. You're waiting on a deer to come, right? If you were hunting, you'd be on the ground, you know, searching and looking for the deer, but you're waiting. And sometimes you don't even see a deer, and you get a little discouraged, don't you? Oh, there's no deer around here. I'm going back home. Well, there's no deer because, you know, so-and-so here down the road shot all the deer, and now there's no deer. You know, that's our attitude that we developed. Many, many mornings during goose season, cold mornings, I've gone to the fields in the darkness, put out the decoys, put out my lantern light, got in this thing and laid there to wait for the geese to come. And lo and behold, many, many, many mornings, many quarts of coffee later, many prayers later, and I always pray, and I always ask God, you know, you own all the birds of the air, flocks of the field, kindly be generous to us today, and send some our way, that we might enjoy them on our table and glorify you, and that we might have a wonderful experience. We always pray for a great experience. And many, many, many mornings, I have laid there for hours and not seen one bird. But you know what I saw? I saw the only sunrise that God gave this valley on that morning, that year, at that time. And hundreds of people missed it. But I was in the right place, patiently waiting, and got to experience far more than what I ever thought I was going to experience. Mink, we've seen mink, you know, just having a good time in the creeks. You talk about big bucks, we have seen them standing 10 feet from us on mornings that I've never seen the birds that we were waiting for. You understand what I'm saying? In our waiting, we have to relax a little bit and say, what is it really here that God is doing in my life? What is it God really wants me to see? What is it that God really wants to say to me this morning or this day or in this situation? Patiently waiting on the Lord. And I guarantee you, and God's word tells us it's good to wait patiently for the Lord. When we wait, God always comes through. Sometimes it's a long time. Sometimes it's not anything like we're expecting. But it's always better because he's got a love and God compassion. Let's pray. Thank you, God.